the ambrosial song of the beautiful Lord Sri Krishna, chapter 1. In the Ramayana, Lord Ramachandra said, "One wise man is more beneficial for a country than thousands of fools. The physician whose treatment worsens the ailment of the ailing, the servant instilled with a rebellious mentality, and the hero who is desirous of political power, one who does not get rid of these is himself doomed." Chapter 1, Shainya Darshan, observing the armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. The lamentation of Arjuna. Obeisances unto the one non-dual absolute truth, the Supreme Spirit, Supreme Soul, and Supreme Lord of all. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. King Dhritarashtra said, "O Sanjay, when my sons and the sons of Pandu assembled at the holy place of Kurukshetra, desiring to engage in battle, what did they do?" Sanjaya said, "O King Dhritarashtra, after seeing the army of the Pandavas arrayed in battle formation, your son, King Duryodhana, approached his military teacher, his guru, and Dronacharya, and spoke the following words. Duryodhana said, 'O my master, Dronacharya, behold this great army of the sons of Pandu, arranged by your intelligent disciple, Dhrishtadyumna. Here are heroic, mighty archers, equal in battle to Bhim and Arjuna, and great warriors such as Yudhan, King Virat, and King Drupad, King Drishtaketu, Prince Chaitanya, the King of the Kashis, the Purujit and Kuntibhoja princes, King Shaibya, who is like a bull among men. There are the courageous Yudhamanyu, the valorous Uttamoja, Abhimanyu, and the sons of Draupadi, all of whom are indeed great chariot warriors. But now, O best of Brahmins, be informed of our own distinguished heroes. I shall tell you who will be leading my military forces. Besides your lordship, there is Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashwatthama, Vikaran, Bhurishravas, all of whom are always victorious in battle. There are a great many other heroes prepared to risk their lives for my sake. All of them are well equipped with various kinds of weapons, both for striking and for hurling, and they are highly skilled in the art of combat. Our forces are protected by Bhishma. Though innumerable, still seem to be to me somehow insignificant and insufficient. Whereas the forces of the Pandavas guarded by Bhim appear to be quite sufficient. Therefore, stationed at your respective strategic positions, all throughout the phalanx of our army, all of you venerable Kshatriyas must be especially attentive in giving full protection to Grandfather Bhishma." Sanjaya continued, "Then Bhishma, the grandsire, senior most of the Kuru dynasty, made a loud roaring sound like a lion. Blowing his conch shell with great valor, he delighted Duryodhan. Other conch shells, small drums, cymbals, and horns suddenly sounded, creating a tumultuous tumult. And then Madhava Sri Krishna and Arjuna, situated on a magnificent chariot drawn by white horses, blew their divine conch shells, Divya Shankh, in reply. Krishna blew his conch shell named Pancha Janya. Arjuna blew his called the Devadatta. And Bhima, the performer of terrific deeds, blew his mighty conch shell named Pondra. King Yudhishthira, the son of Kunti, blew his conch shell Anantavijay. Nakula and Sahadev blew their conch shells named Sugosh and Manipushpaka. The king of Kashi was among the greatest of archers. The great warrior Shikhandi, Drishtadyumna, Virat, the undefeatable Satyaki, Drupad, and the mighty arms Subhadra, each blew his conch shell in turn, O king of the earth. These uproarious sounds shattered the hearts of your sons, my lord Dhritarashtra, as they resounded both in the sky and on the surface of the earth. Upon seeing your sons arrayed in battle formation, Arjuna, bearing Hanuman on his flag, took up his bow in preparation for the upcoming confrontation. At that time, O King Dhritarashtra, Arjuna spoke words to Sri Krishna. Please station my chariot between the two armies, O infallible one Achyuta. I wish to see those present on the battlefield who are anxious to fight and with whom I must contend in undertaking this conflict. I must see you as assembled here to fight for the cause of the evil-minded Duryodhan, wishing to do him a kind favor by engaging in warfare. Sanjay said, having been addressed by Arjuna, Sri Krishna brought that finest of chariots between the two armies, facing Bhishma, Drona, and all the other rulers of the world. Krishna said, O son of Prita, behold, all the Kauravas gathered together here. There, Arjuna saw, stationed within the ranks of both armies, his fathers, grandfathers, teachers, maternal uncles, brothers, sons, grandsons, and cherished friends as well. The son of Kunti saw his fathers-in-law and other well-wishers also within both armies. He beheld all kinds of relatives poised for battle. Overwhelmed with grief and deep compassion, Arjuna said, O Krishna, seeing all my own kinsmen present here, eager to fight, my bodily limbs fail me, my mouth feels parched, my body also trembles, and my hair stands on end. My Gandiva's bow slips from my hand, as if wishing to leave me, and a burning sensation is flowing throughout my skin. I am unable to remain composed, and my mind reels in bewilderment. I see inauspicious omens, O Keshav, and I foresee misfortune as a result of slaying my own kinsmen in battle. I have no desire for any victory, O Krishna, nor for any kingdom or pleasures obtained thereby. What use have we for a kingdom, Govinda? Of what use is enjoyment, or even life itself? All those for whose sake we had desired sovereignty, pleasures, and happiness are here standing poised for battle, sacrificing life and wealth. Teachers, fathers, sons, even grandfathers, as well as maternal uncles, fathers-in-laws, brothers-in-laws, grandsons, and other relatives. I do not wish to kill them, though they may kill me, O Madhusudan. Even for the sake of sovereignty over the three worlds, let alone this earth. O Janardan, what pleasure will we derive from killing the sons of Dhritarashtra? Rather, sin will take hold of us if we slay these aggressors. Therefore, we are not entitled to slay the sons of Dhritarashtra. O Madhav, how could we possibly become happy by killing our own friends and family members? Even if these big men, overwhelmed by, powered by greed, even if they think there is no fault in slaying one's family and no crime in injuring friends, how is it that we, Janardan, cannot understand by discernment that destroying a dynasty is evil and thus turn away from such sins? With the destruction of a family, its ancient religious traditions vanish, and upon that loss, the remaining members of the dynasty are overtaken by irreligion as well. When irreligion becomes predominant, the women of the family become corrupted, O Krishna, and from corrupted women, progeny tainted with irreligious inclinations are born, O descendant of Vrishni. Tainted offspring lead both the destroyers of the family itself to the nether world. Because being deprived of the ritual offerings of rice and water and shrad, the families and ancestors fall to that region. As a result of the evil deeds of those who destroy the family and thus produce such progeny of mixed character, ageless family traditions and social duties are abolished. We have heard repeatedly, O Janardan, that persons whose family religious traditions have been abolished reside in the nether world for an indeterminate period of time. Alas, we have resolved to perpetrate such great sins due to our greed for royal pleasures. We are intent on killing our own kinsmen. It would be more beneficial for me if the sons of Dhritarashtra, weapons in hand, were to kill me unarmed and unresisting on the battlefield. Sanjaya said, Dhritarashtra, having spoken thus on the battlefield, Arjun sat down on his chariot and threw down his bow and arrows, his mind overwhelmed by sorrow. Thus ends the first chapter, the lamentation of Arjun.